Hello and welcome to Unlock Your Vitality with Magalie on a Journey. I'm your host, Magalie Matthew. Here we cover all things vitality, that is living full of energy. From gut health to spirituality, nutrition to movement, we peel back the layers and unlock ways to heal and feel our best selves, one conscious habit at a time. Stick around, let's dive on in. I'm so excited you're here. Hello, my beautiful friends, and welcome to another episode of the show. I have not done a solo in a long time, and I'm really, really excited for this one-on-one or one-on whoever's listening conversation. I have to say that the tech gods have not been with me. I don't know what's going on with the platform that I use, and I'm going to be switching it up. I've had to reschedule some guests, and yeah, I just like when things work. But before we get into it, first of all, if you're here, thank you so much for being here, for listening. It truly means the world to have you a part of just this community. It's been a little creation that has, I don't know, really flourished into something beautiful, and it wouldn't happen without you here. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If this is your first time listening, welcome. I hope you're ready. You're in for a treat. And if you've been coming back, thank you so much for being back here. If you want to rate and review or share the podcast with somebody that you think might benefit from it, that's really how we continue to grow. So thank you so much. Let's get into the episode. All right. Welcome, everybody. So I have so many things to update you guys about because we have not properly chatted since I went to San Diego to my trauma healing somatic summit. I never remember the exact wording of that event, but you get the point. And then I was by Embody Lab in San Diego. Also since the retreat to reconnect, which was last weekend. And oh my gosh, seriously fueled my soul. It was so beautiful. So those are kind of the two main things. And then just like a little life update that I want to share with you. Let's start with taking a breath. Sitting in a comfortable seat, inhaling through your nose, letting it go. One more, just like that. Yeah, that feels good. So my trauma healing somatic conference was really, really life-changing. I jotted a few things down, which if you know and if you've been listening to this podcast, I never do. I'm not a preparer. I heard this thing somebody shared with me the other day, which I loved. Oh, I know who shared it with me. It was Mel from Persimmon and Roots when we were doing the retreat. And I think somebody had shared it with her, which is be present, not prepared. Like focus on being more present instead of focusing on being more prepared. And it was so affirming to hear that because that's really how I do a lot of the things, whether it's through my coaching program or through the podcast or just how I share in general. And don't get me wrong, I do prepare and I do work really hard behind the scenes. But when it comes to conversations, I obviously, especially when it's guests, I like look up who they are and all those things. But I really love to just be able to connect in the moment with somebody without having to have every single questions prepared. I think especially as I become more and more comfortable in the role. And I just really like it to be natural. So that's where we're at with that. But that to say, I did write like just a few things down because it was really, really impactful and powerful. Actually, this is perfect because it's coming after the episode with Chrissy on somatics. And so if you haven't listened to it, pause and go listen to that because it's really insightful and helpful in understanding what somatic healing is, what somatic experiencing or movement practices are. But yeah, it was a beautiful like mix of learning a lot of the theory, hearing from really practical experiences, practicing things ourselves and seeing the effect of them. And there's a few examples that I want to share with you and that you can hopefully use in your day to day. So the first one is, I mentioned this, I think last week on last week's episode, but I couldn't remember if it was called the window of tolerance or the window of resilience. And it's the window of tolerance. And so it really talks about how we have this window. So if you picture just a line at the bottom and then a little bit up, like another line that's going the same direction, and then you have a little dot going from the bottom of the line to the top of the other line and then back down, that's like our tolerance window in terms of stress. And so we go into a stress response. And so it goes up, up, up. And then we are able to come back down and go back into that parasympathetic nervous system regulation. And so it goes back down. However, when trauma occurs, we jump out of that window of tolerance. And then it's like, okay, how can we regulate ourselves to go back down? And a big aha moment in learning this is that often we can't go back down on ourselves. We need, especially if we're young, we need help in order to be able to go back down. And so that means we need what they call being resourced. And that could be with having a therapist, having an SEP practitioner, having a friend or a parent around. And then eventually we continue to learn what those resources are so that when we come out of that window again, we can reach for those resources and come back down. What I love about this is they also had a lot of conversations on like when somebody is in a trauma state, and I've been, you know, saying this too, like we all have choices and it's possible to change our life and to change our mindset and all these things. When you're in that state of trauma, you need resources to be able to go back down in order to come into a state of actually healing. And it's in that safe space of I am safe and regulated that we can then process and truly heal. And so, yeah, it was just a little diagram that was really, really helpful. And they also talked a lot about the fact that when trauma happens, it splits the body and the mind. And this is something that resonated with me a lot because I felt like a lot of my work has been focusing and needing to focus on reconnecting the mind-body connection. And we've all experienced trauma, whether little T trauma or big T trauma throughout our childhood and our lives. And this was a really beautiful reminder of why it's so important to create that connection, because it is ruptured whenever we have incidences that might have happened in our lives. One of the memories that came back for me that I literally have not thought about this in years, and this isn't like a, you know, no trigger warning needed. When I was little, I was running around a table and hit my eye, the corner of my eye on the corner of the table. Pretty typical, like young child, I don't know, issue or little injury. I mean, I have so many people that has a similar scar than I do on the corner of my eye. And I don't remember that moment happening. Like I've been told the story, but I don't remember. However, what I do remember is the doctors placing this like blanket with a hole on top of me and then me losing consciousness. But I really remember that moment. Like nobody could explain that or could put that in my memory because I have the bird's eye view of like something coming at me. And yeah, these people in gowns, doctors, placing this on top of me and me feeling really, really scared. And it's a small example. I don't remember if my parents were in the room. I haven't even shared this as I was preparing the podcast. I remember this morning that I had this memory. And it was just a reminder of how a lot of little things might impact us and might affect us in certain ways. And this is a great example because like there was no blame or shame on anybody else. It was nobody's fault that this happened. You know, like it's an accident, it happens. And potentially that has one of the things that created this feeling of being scared. And as Peter Levine and Gabor Mate talk so much about, is the importance of when trauma isn't or stress isn't what actually happens to you, but what happens inside of you as the event occurs. And so if something is happening and you're feeling alone in that experience or really scared in that experience, or like you can't go to somebody else, that is when you are going to create that disconnection from the body and the mind. And it's needed in that moment because you need to feel safe. So yeah, it was really beautiful. And then I just mentioned Peter Levine and Gabor Maté, and I've talked about these two giants in this space many times before. If you are interested in this work, feel free to go check them out, because it's just actually the autobiography of Peter Levine is coming out in a few weeks. And he truly, like, this is, I think he's 84 years old. And one of my favorite moments was a panel with him and Gabor Maté. And Dr. Scott Lyons was interviewing them or moderating the panel. And Peter was like, this is the first time that I actually share my story. And this is somebody who literally has been like the godfather of, or creator, if you want to call it that, of somatic experiencing and somatic healing. Somebody that really has brought light. And they talked, both of them, about so many moments of like being ridiculed and being, you know, not taken seriously in the field because of the things they were talking about, people not wanting to fund their research. There was such a feeling of like gratitude for these pioneers that were fighting against, not even fighting, but continuing to push against a belief system that was going a really complete different direction. And one of the questions was, how does it feel to now be, you know, in this beautiful space where people are like responding so much to that? And like, you're in front of, you know, 600 people right now who are truly listening and believing everything you're saying and like want to continue to take it back. And Peter like laughed and said that something positive, which talks so much about both of their personalities. And Gabor Maté was like, don't think it's over. Like, you have so much work to do. There's still a lot to do. And I will put a tiny little parenthesis on this. I recently saw the ABC, I don't think it's called, it's a documentary, but like talk hour that Oprah did with these pharmaceutical companies that have created a drug to combat obesity. And I want to caveat this by saying I'm not an expert in this space. This is my personal experience. Like, the complete differences between this conference that I went to and then seeing that documentary was that, and actually this is something that Gabor Maté talks about. He's like, when you say I have X, so for example, I have obesity, or I have this blah, blah, I have whatever it is that you have, you're saying I have this entity as if it's like a cell phone that you're holding, as opposed to there is an organism within me that has history and that has created this thing. And when we say I have whatever disease, we make the assumption that the two are separate, but it's really a part of us. And this is not to, again, put any blame or shame. And in my personal experience, I can really see that I've been the person saying like, I have IBS, I have SIBO, I have Hashimoto's. And it can be unhelpful because it's like, okay, there is this thing that's inside of me, as opposed to looking at it as my body has been developing little by little, because it is something that takes time. It's not like we wake up one day and it all of a sudden the SIBO is there. Like, our digestive system, you know, has been giving us signs and little by little creating it. And so when I was watching this specifically, I think Oprah is on Ozempic. There's a few different drugs, obviously, that have been in the space for a really, really long time and that have recently come to light. And thanks to TikTok and all these other ways have been increasingly made more aware. And as a result, people are able to access it more. Although there are a lot of access issues in terms of insurance is not covering it and people who feel like they really need it not having access to it and all these things. I'm not here to say how we're going to solve the obesity epidemic. I think that we're trying to find solutions. And after watching this, I was like, we are trying to find in a way, a solution to a problem that when you watch this documentary, one of the first women talks about all the different traumas that she's gone through and how she's resulted to food as comfort. And I have never lived in that large of a body, and so I don't know what that feels like. Again, I can only speak from my experience. However, there was no conversation about any kind of behavioral or trauma-informed just healing from really digging deep. And a lot of these individuals are potentially, you know, have low financial resources and or are lacking resources. And there is, again, I think it's a really systemic problem. There are so many layers to it. And we're so far deep in the obesity epidemic that we need to find solutions. And if that's a solution that helps people and that can help them feel good, that's their choice. What I was really frustrated by is that there was no connection and no conversation about how to help really the root. Because as they were saying on this conversation, they said, I think it was 99.9% of people will have to take this drug for the rest of their lives, or they will go back 100%. And I guess everything that this somatic healing experience was about was being able to connect and to listen to what your body is telling you from the inside. And taking this kind of drug is, and then the fact that it doesn't work anymore when you don't take it, it's having, again, that complete disconnection and having something from the outside solve your issue, but not at a deep root level. It's just my thoughts, and I wanted to share them because I think watching this after having been a few weeks before in the somatic healing event, it was like there was such a strong disconnect that I had to bring that up. But anyway, where I was going to go is that at one point, as Scott Lyons was talking about the fact that Peter and Gabor were like these huge giants in the space. And he asked something around like, you know, you guys are in your 80s and still talking about it. Like, you know, don't you think it's enough? Or something along those lines. And Peter said, have I done enough? Yes. Am I enough? That's still a work in progress. And then Gabor was like, but the part of us that's asking the question of, am I enough? That question is coming from the broken part of us. And so we need to look at who's asking that question. And then they just had like a ping pong back and forth. And it was so beautiful to watch these two really skilled and experts in this space help each other. And the vulnerability of the fact that Peter was like, I'm still a work in progress at 80 something years old. And I've done this work for so long and I've helped millions of people literally was such a beautiful, for me, way of showing authenticity and integrity in a space where so many people feel like they have to be above or like they have to be completely healed before and that they can't show themselves in this way. So yeah, it was really, really beautiful. And then one of the things that I loved still in this idea of like questions is that Gabor said, you know, the questions that are not asked in this space of going to medicine or going back to, you know, these individuals who are obese and needing to rely on a medicine in order to let go of it, questions that are not asked from their doctors are the answers as to what got you there in the first place in terms of the state. And so continuing to, I guess, think about the fact that we're in such a society that doesn't go deeper because of how, you know, fast paced and all the things that we've become. So then I want to talk about two examples that were really, really, really beautiful. One of these examples that was really beautiful is Betsy Polin, who is another amazing practitioner, asked if somebody wanted to come and sing. And she, I think, mentioned like, you're not a, you know, professional singer, like just somebody that enjoys singing. And so one woman ended up deciding to come up. And then Betsy was like, okay, just like go ahead and start singing. Maybe just like a verse of your favorite song or something like that. And so this woman starts singing and, you know, an okay singer, like somebody who you can tell loves this song, sings in the shower, but it was like, okay, pretty cool. I mean, definitely better than me. I have no tuning whatsoever. But then Betsy led this woman through just a breathing and orienting practice and helping her come back into her body and helping her breathe in a certain way. And then she asked her, after doing that for about 5 minutes, asked her to sing again. And the difference was absolutely magical. This woman, like, first of all, she just belted way more. Like, she sang her heart out. Another beautiful example is something that we tried actually at the retreat, and it's just being in pairs. So one person asks the others, like, hey, is there anywhere that your body might need a little support right now? And then the other person just kind of breathes, takes time, closes their eyes, and then might let them know, for example, yes, on my knees. And then that person places their hands on their knees and then lets them know, like, okay, when you feel like you don't need support there anymore, let me know. Or if you feel like you need support somewhere else, let me know. And it's so beautiful to watch. And we did it at the retreat, to just see how when we ask for support with very specific, like, knowing of what it is that we need, and the person gives it to us, what that does inside our bodies. It's a really, really magical little practice. And again, that was so beautiful to witness at the retreat, which I think is what we'll get into. So let's talk about it. Oh my gosh, guys, the retreat to reconnect. It was, first of all, it's something that came about during the, I mean, it came to me before I went to San Diego, but during the time in San Diego, what was so clear to me is, yes, this is what we are in need of to really truly connect to ourselves in order to be able to unlock our vitality. It's not possible for us to be our full versions of ourselves if we're not connected to ourselves. And I mean, I speak that from personal experience. I still have a lot to do, a lot of work to do in continuing to being able to connect with myself day to day. So I think what was so beautiful about the retreat was the coming together of women. It was beautiful to have Mel and Christina in there as a part of it and to really help them continue to bring out what they have to bring out into the world. And that, I think, is continuing to more and more be a part of my mission and a part of what I want to bring out into the world of helping other women. And I do this through my Vitalize course of, you know, connecting to what it is that they are wanting to put into the world and helping them get there. And in-person events has been a beautiful way of being able to do that with other amazing women who have so much to give. It was also just so beautiful to see the connections that were made with each other. To walk you through a little bit the day, they arrived in the morning and I had created a like morning juice and some energy balls. You might remember my Reiki energy balls. I've talked about them during my Master Reiki training practice. And there was a few cards that they could pull. They could also take time to set their intention and really connect. And then after that, once everybody arrived and kind of settled, we got to go and do a yoga practice or meditation and yoga practice, which was so beautiful. We got to do it outside in the sunshine. It was just amazing. And then after that, we were able to really take time to connect to our creativity. So Christina led us through a creativity workshop, connecting to our younger self, and that was just so beautiful. And then they made flower crowns, which I think connected to joy and creativity and also femininity, which is something I wanted to bring into this retreat. We then got in for lunch, and so I had made everything from scratch. It was really, really important to me that everything was healthy and made from scratch and with so much love. And so I was really grateful that I was able to do that. It really connected me. I shared this with my mom, but it really connected me to my mom and her mom, my grandma, and how much cooking is something that it's not like they sat me down and they were like, okay, this is how you cook. I feel like it's really something that I observed, and it's a place where my intuition comes to fruition so easily. And yeah, it's something that sparked in me about food and recipes throughout this weekend that was really special. And truly it being like a huge love language. And not that I see myself becoming a chef or cooking all the time, but there is something about the ability to create nourishing foods. And I really say nourishing rather than healthy. Like, I think I want to let go, even though I just said it a few minutes ago, try to let go of that, because I really believe that food is meant to nourish us and it can heal us. So yeah, lunch was so special. And then one of my favorite parts was just after lunch, sitting and chatting and getting to know each other, and a few women being like, oh, this feels like such a sacred space. And I really needed this moment in community. And I think it's one of the things that I had been wanting to create. And so like seeing that in action and just seeing them connect with each other, most of them didn't know each other. And only a few, like two people came with one another. So there was two groups of two that knew each other, but everybody else came on their own. And yeah, they really were able to connect in a deep and beautiful way. And then Mel led us through a sip and chat. We tried three different teas, and they were each related to the chakras. And so we had connection conversations and questions that were able to ask us things in relation to our chakras and in relation to the herbs and to what it means to unlock this area. And it was so beautiful. And then after that, we had a little closing and they were off. And then we, you know, cleaned everything up. And the day before, we had also done a photo shoot with Christina. I'm so excited to share the photos once they're ready. I shared a little behind the scenes on my stories and Instagram, but it was such a fun day. And it was, yeah, like a overall beautiful time. And as I have always promised to be vulnerable and share openly on here, I was really tired afterwards. And I realized that I hadn't given myself, I think prior to that, there was so much push in terms of like selling and growing and all the other things that I'm working on with Vitalize and etc., that I really felt a little depleted after. And so one of the big learnings coming out of this is, how can I make sure that this is something that I create and that feels like it can be done with a lot of love and taking care of myself? Because, you know, everything that I'm sharing and promoting during this retreat, I also want to feel for myself and coming from a full cup. Yeah, it was just a really good reminder of that. And those are basically the two things I really wanted to update you guys on and share. I'm so grateful for everybody being a part of this journey. In terms of little life updates, I am loving continuing to create this group, this Vitalize group. It's over on April 25th. So we have about 5 weeks left, I believe. It's been going amazing. I'm going to be continuing to share on Instagram all the things that these beautiful women are creating and putting out into the world. And there will definitely be more retreats. I know a lot of you have asked about that, and I promise we will be sharing more, because it was such a clear need. And one of the things we talked about actually was, for me, it's really important to continue to deepen the connections and deepen the community. You know, it's beautiful to like share one moment in one space, but how can that continue to grow? And so I'm really excited to find ways to do that. And I'm actually brainstorming on a few ideas that are so not ready to be talked about yet because they're just ideas in my head. But I'm really, really looking forward to ways of creating that. So I just want to say thank you again for being here. And I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you loved this episode as much as I did. If you are enjoying the show, please feel free to rate and review, share it with a friend. This is truly how we are able to grow. So whether you are listening on Kajabi directly, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or on Google, any way that you can just share it with a friend, and even through social media, letting us know what you loved about it, what you got out of the episode. And if you haven't yet, you can subscribe or rate and review depending on all the places that you get your podcasts. But I just wanted to say a big, big thank you. If this is the first episode you've ever listened to, or if you've been here for a while, or if you've been here since the very beginning, unlocking my vitality has been a beautiful journey into learning, actually. And this podcast has really helped me learn through different people, through your feedback, through, just seeing and hearing beautiful women and the work that they're doing and sharing it with the world. So thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next week. Bye.